Om Namah Shivaya. The topic of this talk is the yoga relationships. And this is about how to become whole and perfect through relationships. When I mention that word relationships, most people immediately think of romantic relationships. But relationships are not just romantic. There are many different types of relationship, and in fact, life is nothing but relationships. Nothing is independent. If you think you are independent, you are creating problems for yourself because we are constantly in relationship at all times. Our definitions of ourselves cannot be independent from anybody or anything else. Why? Because we know that thoughts are influenceable. I've gone into this in depth in another talk in this series, but briefly, thoughts are around us at all times. They circulate and they penetrate. They travel very fast because they are not physical. Instead, they are in the astral or subtle reality of life. You might be in one place, but thinking about someone that you do not know personally, and likewise, someone might be thinking about you. So even if you are not aware that you have a relationship with that person, their existence influences you, and your existence influences them. The yoga of relationships teaches us to understand that we are in this constant, complex network of relationships, and it also teaches us that we need to learn from the emotional patterns that we usually follow within relationships. We have two prime relationships when we are born. The first is with the mother. The relationship with your mother remains the most important relationship for a long time. Because for a human being to function alone, it takes quite some time, and usually it's our mothers who get us through this time. You start to walk and eat independently at 1 or 2 years of age, but you still have to be taken care of. Someone has to bring food to you and give you shelter, and it's usually the mother, so that relationship with mother is a prime relationship. And then you have the relationship with father, who usually plays an important support and stabilization role. It's normally not so close as the relationship with mother. After the mother and father, more relationships come into play. When you grow up and go to school, you have a relationship with your teacher, and you learn from him or her. And then there is the relationship with the guest. What does that mean, the guest? It basically means anyone whom you come in contact with. It could be anyone that you meet or invite to your home. This reference to a guest is equivalent to the neighbor in the spiritual injunction, love thy neighbor as thyself. In yoga, an ideal relationship is based on respect, devotion, and self-sacrifice. Respect means you are tuning your mind to the needs of the other person and that you accept their uniqueness, no matter what you think about it. It implies a non-judgmental attitude. Devotion is about seeing the other person as God, and that means you will treat that person with pure, unreserved love and trust, and be ready to dedicate your time and efforts to make them happy. Self-sacrifice in relationships implies that you understand that your own needs are secondary to the needs of the other person, who you consider as God, because you understand that while you are serving him or her, you are in reality serving your own self. So self-sacrifice doesn't mean that you are losing something. Instead, you are exchanging your limited view and your egoistic needs with a more unselfish desire in order to purify and uplift yourself. This is what is commonly understood in the Vedic literature as seeing someone as God. When you see someone as God, it implies that relationship is giving you what you need and supporting you unconditionally. Even if it is not the case, The fact that you endeavor to see God in your relationships helps you to put your foot in a positive direction. That means it helps you to develop a proper attitude in relationships. Bhakti Yoga is a branch of yogic philosophy that focuses on devotion to God and devotional practices. Bhakti Yoga uses these fundamental emotional relationships and sublimates them into divine love. Bhava is a concept used in Bhakti Yoga. It means internal feeling towards the divine that the devotee cultivates. So you can cultivate bhava towards your father, mother, friend, husband or wife, and so on. That is why children in India are taught to care about their relationship by this saying, "The first God is your mother, the second God is your father, the third is your teacher, and fourth God is the guest." That means that you should develop your relationships with these people as if they were God. Usually in relationships, we reproduce the relationships that we have already known. Why? Because our minds have already been imprinted with impressions or samskaras, to give them their Sanskrit name, of past relationships. You identify yourself with certain types of relationship and you reproduce them. The way in which we view ourselves and the way we view other people is seen through the prism of those impressions left by past relationships. The impressions created by those prime relationships with mother and father are especially strong. That's because those relationships began when we were young and we were being formed. We were not able to take decisions for ourselves or understand what was going on. We were functioning only out of our subconscious or emotional instinctive minds, so the impressions made then are very deep and unquestionable. In yoga, it is said that we choose our mother and father in this life so that we can learn and grow. And this learning goes on and on, as we just keep on reproducing relationships and impressions that we have known previously. We are not born from grass. The minds we were born with were not completely tabula rasa. And yogis believe that we carry the joys and the sufferings that come from past lives and from the subconscious minds of our family and ancestors. We carry this on in our own lives, and we reproduce them in our own relationships. I give you an example. Let's say you were raised by a single parent. It's very likely that you will later become a single parent yourself. You will form relationships, but after a while, the relationships will break up. Why? Because the impression you carry with you is being reproduced. Another example. Let's say you grew up in a dysfunctional and very angry family. You are likely to form a dysfunctional, angry family yourself later on. Unless you do a lot of conscious inner work and develop detachment and so on. So many patterns begin in childhood and they just get reproduced. If when you were young, you were loved or not loved, or isolated or put down, or if you were completely spoiled and you were told that everything you did was perfect, then you will keep reproducing these patterns. So the spoiled person will always blame something external because they think that they are perfect because that's what they have been told all their lives. Of course, we're all perfect inside, but our minds are not perfect. Our minds need to be molded in order for us to be able to reflect the perfection that is within us. So you will have to do a great deal of self-inquiry to become independent of your past impressions and to correct the pattern of reproducing your past relationships. So the way in which we see each other in any kind of relationship is through the prism of our previous impressions. That's why there is a yoga relationship, because it is through this network of relationships that you learn and grow. You and the people you are in relationship with will bounce off each other emotionally in various ways so that you reach the core issue of relationships. And the core issue is the relationship you have with your own self. Or we could say that it's the relationship you have with God. In the ideal scenario, those first prime relationships would nurture, sustain, and give us ourselves. However, 100% of the time, this does not happen. It's not possible for you to know yourself when you are born. Therefore, when you are born, you are already on the path to learning the karmic lessons about relationships. The best case scenario is that you won't be too distorted by bad impressions early in life, and that you'll be able to eventually find yourself before you start reproducing bad relationships and creating a lot of new mess. I say this because when you emotionally bounce off another person, it usually creates unhappiness. It's only in pure love that we find lasting happiness. In other kinds of relationships, no matter whether they are generally positive or generally negative, there will always be what Swami Sivananda described as a jarring note, a hidden doubt, and a flaw. And those are what create unhappiness. Many of us don't want to see that. But regardless of the stories we like to tell ourselves, our relationships are not selfless, and we cannot truly find ourselves in relationships. We are instead actually learning through our relationships, usually in a painful manner, to find ourselves. That means that we have to recognize there is another level of relationship that goes far beyond relationships with co-workers or romantic partners or friends. It is the highest kind of relationship and the most difficult to get. It's the essential relationship which can be described as pure, selfless love. It is the relationship with consciousness and with love itself. When you form that relationship, you will be able to feel love everywhere you go and for everyone you meet at all times. That love will free you and bring you lasting happiness. It is quite different from other types of relationships because in those, there is always a certain amount of fear, which is a negative emotion. It could be fear of separation, fear of losing, fear of being alone, fear of other people, fear of being abused, fear of the other. And you have to go through all these different lessons and learn to trust. You cannot trust if you don't feel the connection with yourself and you're not grounded in your true self, because you will not be able to understand this phenomena of other people. You always see them as the other. If you are young, then you don't understand the old. If you are male, then you don't understand the female, and vice versa. If you are black, you don't understand the white, and so on. When you look externally at the other, you are defining yourself through the differences you perceive as existing between you and them. This is the basis of the feeling of attraction and repulsion we have towards the other. The reason why is that you are not really loving your true self, though you may love external qualities about yourself, such as gender, beauty, race, intelligence, and so on. In the same manner, you form relationships based on the external appearance of other people. So, in reality, these relationships are just reproductions of your own belief about yourself. You might blame other people, but if you look back within yourself, you can cure the problem from within by starting to love yourself truly for who you are and not for the external qualities of illusion that you believe yourself to be. Healing relationships starts with that self-love. You have to learn to love your true self. You will have to go through the maze of your mind and emotions and sort out who you are, who you are not. Look at what you believe to be true and examine whether it is really true or not. If you can discard those ideas about yourself that are not true, you will be able to understand the core value of yourself that is true. That way, you will accept and love your true self. In other words, you will stop waiting for someone external to give you permission to love yourself. That's what we usually do. We wait for someone external to make us love ourselves, and usually what results is just a chain of projection and reproduction, and it creates a big mess. In yoga, we aim to stop this cycle of reproducing old relationships by sitting down and looking within and starting to find ourselves. It's about being self-sufficient, not in an egoistic manner, but in a spiritual manner. We must find ourselves in order to have true relationships with other people. The moment that you improve your level of self-love, your level of love for other people will also improve. It's automatic. If you hate yourself, you will hate other people. If you are angry with yourself, you will be angry with other people. If you are disconnected from yourself, then you also be disconnected from other people. So there is no point in extending blame or in trying to correct things externally. You need to correct things internally. If you find that you are always losing yourself in relationship, it is because you have lost your connection with your inner self. If you can constantly maintain the relationship with yourself, then you will have beautiful relationships externally. Now, and pay attention here, when I say you must love yourself, I'm not talking about love of the ego, or love of your separate self, or love of your mind and all its wrong impressions. What I'm talking about is the exact opposite. It's about discarding those wrong impressions and connecting with the true loving self that is within you. When you can connect with that and feel its beauty, you'll be able to connect with everything outside and appreciate all the beauty surrounding you. The yoga of relationships is about understanding that what happens externally in any relationship is always a reflection of what is happening inside of you. So you have to work on your inner self. You have to forgive, forget, release and let go, and then reform positive impressions in order for you to find and love yourself and find the love in other people. That way, you can find yourself in other people without getting lost. You can only do that if you are not lost yourself. The moment that you improve your level of self-love, your level of love for other people will also improve. That's why here in the ashram, we require that you do not get involved in relationships while you are staying here. That way, you have a chance to get to know yourself. Out there, you are constantly in this big party of relationships, and usually you are just acting, reacting, and often end up feeling so desperate and needy that you just jump into any old relationship. And then the relationship makes you suffer, and you fall apart, and after a while, you pull yourself together and jump into a different relationship with equally bad results, and you never take the time to try to understand how to be yourself. So you will have to wean yourself off unhealthy relationships. How do you do that without creating undue pain? Try to create some space in the relationship so you can have time for yourself. Keep yourself calm, do your inner spiritual practices, and try not to blame or project your unhappiness onto the other or expect happiness from the other. It is a slow inner process. You can slowly work on your interrelationships with others by slowly establishing a relationship with yourself internally. This also applies to family relationships. Family relationships are the relationships that tend to form the deepest impressions in the subconscious. Some people listening to me say this might respond angrily in saying, "What are you talking about? My family relationships are sacred, and you are saying I should wean myself off them? Are you crazy?" Talking about family relationships can provoke very strong emotional reactions because no one wants to look at them, and we so strongly identify with them that we cannot think about them objectively. If you are having a strong reaction, don't worry. I'm not suggesting that you sever all ties with your family. What I suggest is that you work on creating some space in your relationship with your family so you can better serve them and so that both parties can eventually benefit from the relationship. In other words, you need to have time to yourself while enjoying and working out the relationship. Eventually, you will be able to live harmoniously with yourself while maintaining healthy relationships with your family members, your partner, and your friends, and everyone else around you. The journey that you need to make in order to master the yoga relationships is one you need to make by yourself, because it's an inward journey of self-discovery, and no one can do it for you. It doesn't mean that you have to be alone, but you have to be with yourself. You have to cultivate your awareness of yourself before you can make sense of your interrelationships with others. This is something that we often have difficulty accepting if we are emotional, because it's very difficult for us to think that this is a journey we will have to make by ourselves. But this journey of self-discovery is the journey to find or recover our self-love in order for us to truly be able to love others. The other people that come into our lives along the way will be our teachers. The most difficult relationships are intimate romantic relationships. These kinds of relationships bring about a lot of personal growth, but also cause a lot of suffering. Why? Because they touch on the emotional baggage we all inherit at birth. They bring to the surface the subconscious memory of your instinctive and sexual nature, and that is in contradiction to your divine, genderless, bodiless, asexual, spiritual, eternal truth, which is the nature of your soul. It brings back the core existential pain of our life. Almost everyone wants to have a soulmate that will satisfy them completely, give them themselves, and complete them. It's an understandable desire, but you cannot just think, "My soulmate is going to appear in my life, and we will live happily ever after." That's just a romantic notion. In yoga, we believe that everyone is your soulmate, because there is only one soulmate, and that one soulmate is everyone. But because most of us identify with our body and our emotions, we think that our soulmate will appear in the form of a romantic partner who will make us feel whole. In other words, we give this person the burden of making us feel complete and happy. But we pay a very high price, because what we are actually doing is giving ourselves away in order to get the love we think will make us feel good. That way of behaving never creates lasting peace or happiness. So the journey is to find ourselves. When I say find, what I really mean is recognize, because it's not lost, it's not somewhere else, it's just there. We simply need to recognize it. In order to recognize it, we must stop being so dependent and needy and attached. The journey is the process whereby we can achieve a state in which we are independent and self-sufficient and detached. Our definitions of ourselves constantly change as we evolve. Therefore, our relationships also constantly change. So we have to go through the change, accept the new self, and learn the new lessons. We cannot expect everything to be the same forever. The more that you are able to truly love yourself, the more your relationships will be lasting. The relationship you have with yourself and the relationships you have that are external to yourself are in fact the same relationship. You can learn about the relationship you have with yourself through examining your external relationships. And be aware that all your external relationships are equally important, so don't make one person more important than others. That is a very common emotional pattern that you must learn to transcend. Your relationship with your co-worker, your neighbor, your boss, and your doctor are all of equal value. Avoid thought patterns like, there are a few people I will have a true relationship with, and with the other people, I will just fake it. I will just manipulate those people to get what I want. See yourself as whole and complete, and having true loving relationships with all of them. It's a case of seeing humanity as God. When you look at someone, you should embrace them in your heart, even if you only meet that person for a moment. You will get so many opportunities to practice this way of viewing other people. Every day, you will come into contact with new people and you have a chance to love them, find out what they need, and be there for them 100%. Each relationship you have will give you the richest kind of training, and the good news is you are experiencing relationships all of the time. Meditation gives you a chance to be in relationship with yourself. When you are not meditating, thoughts are pouring in, and the moment you are thinking about someone else, you are thinking externally and being kept busy by your external relationships. Sometimes you might ask a person, why don't you do yoga? Why do you never spend time doing a retreat? And they will say, I'm too busy. Yet, when you look at their lives to see what's making them so busy, you will see that they are being kept busy by their emotional relationships and attachments, and they have no chance to be in relationship with themselves. I know a lady who has two grown-up sons. She became very sick and came here to the ashram. She healed herself and was really grateful and said, oh yes, I will definitely be back. But every time I invite her back, she say, oh no, this son is this and this son is that. She never has the time to take care of herself because she's too deeply involved in those relationships. Of course, we want her to have happy relationships with her sons, but we know that she feels that she's missing something, and what she's missing is herself. This is just an example of the universal dilemmas and choices that relationships cause. Patterns of attachment can be huge, and they are the most difficult things to work on because your mind will say, why do I have to detach? I'm happy with this relationship. And you may well be, but the problem is that one day you will have to be detached willingly or by force. This body will ultimately leave you, and so will all the relationships that you are so attached to. So we need to work on our emotional attachments and deepen our feelings towards other people so that we can extend love to everyone and become more selfless. Our fear of losing will become less because our feeling of attachment will become less. And even though this work might seem difficult in the beginning, you will end up feeling better in the end. I'm not saying that you should not love people or be attached. Nor should you, if you have some bad experiences, cut yourself off. Some people do that. They isolate themselves. They close the door to their heart, and they think they are safe. They say, I'm just working on myself. I don't have to deal with anybody, and that's fine. But that's not the way either. You have to be in relationships, and you have to learn from them without losing yourself. And you have to broaden these relationships out to include everyone, and that way you find yourself. In yoga, there's a method that helps you to cultivate these relationships. It's called Bhakti Yoga, and I mentioned this a little earlier. Bhakti Yoga is all about cultivating devotion, and there are three basic steps. First, you have to have your Ishta Devata, or your chosen form of God. Then you have to consciously entertain loving remembrance of your God through glorifying, chanting, worshipping, praying, serving as a servant, and confiding as the friend, and ultimately becoming one with your Ishta Devata. Second, you must maintain this divine relationship by choosing your internal feeling or bhava. And third, you endeavor to follow all the external steps of devotion, which culminate in an attitude of self-surrender. In the yoga of relationships, bhakti yoga is like a fast lane on the highway. Everybody else goes through the usual clog-up lanes, getting stuck in traffic jams. But if you practice bhakti yoga, you'll be on the fast lane. Because bhakti yoga is about cultivating that prime relationship consciously so that you can get everything in one shot. You get yourself and you get God. Bhakti yoga is about the sublimation of emotions. You are sublimating all your energy in this pure divine relationship, and that will move you very quickly through all the relationship lessons life wants to teach you. You'll be enjoying positive relationships and seeing others as God. And you'll be accepting all the relationship challenges as lessons about the relationship of yourself with your own true self. Hare Om Tat Sat.